Hello, and welcome to another episode of Minutes with Mom. I'm Jerrica, your host. Today, we are talking about joy. Last week, I launched my first ebook, and it's called Choosing Joy in the Little Years. The book is filled with lots of stories from my years so far as a mom of lots of little ones. It also talks about things I've learned from trial and error and things I've learned from other moms who are older and much more wiser than I am. So today I want to spend a little bit of time just giving a brief overview of some of the things that I talk about in that book. Choosing joy is kind of a difficult thing to do, especially when you are in the trenches of motherhood. And even if you have one toddler, two toddlers, three toddlers, however many toddlers you have, it's hard. It's hard to make that conscious effort to be joyful. And I'm not talking about that fake plastic smile we smack onto our faces. I'm talking about real, authentic joy. And I have had times where choosing joy was easy. I have had times where I want no part in being joyful. I don't want to make the effort. I don't want to do it. I fight against my flesh. I fight against the natural feelings that I have of this is hard. Nothing about this is fun. I don't want to do this. It's reality. Choosing joy is not something that is easy. But if we can learn how to choose joy when we are in the midst of the muck and the mire of motherhood, we will be all the better for it. And so today, like I said, I just want to briefly touch on some of the topics that I discuss in the book. And first, I want to talk about being a mom of littles. It is dirty, stinky, messy, hard work. Let's just face it. You are elbow deep in changing diapers. You are constantly wiping down the food that they get in their hair, on their faces, in their ears, under their fingernails, in between their fingers. Sometimes, I mean, just to be real, you will find remnants of food in their diaper whenever you go to change them. I mean, it's insanity how dirty they can get when they're just eating. And I can't tell you the amounts of clothes that we have ruined. I can't tell you the amounts of baths I have given right after a meal. I can't tell you the amount of pictures I have of my guys when they were little ones with food smeared all over their faces. It's just, it's uncanny. But it's reality. And you know what? Sometimes I'm sad when I think back to the times that I allowed myself to get so bent out of shape over the shirt that they ruined, or so bent out of shape over the dress that got messed up and I had to throw away, or the outfit that they only got to wear one time, or the fact that my plans were thrown off kilter because I had to yank them out of the high chair and dip them in the bathtub because it was just too terrible to just use a baby wipe. I can remember back to those little faces that were crushed, that were sad because mommy got upset because they, you know, were up. I was upset over the outfit that they ruined. And one thing that I want to point out to moms and, you know, even dads too, if dads have a tendency to get upset over this kind of stuff, because it can happen for them as well. But specifically for moms, one thing that we have to be really, really, really careful about is we never want our children to think that the shirts, the outfits, the clothes, the things are more valuable than them. And when we allow ourselves to get upset to the point of anger, that we are angry over the shirt that they have ruined or over the dress that they have ruined, then we have stepped into that realm where we are placing that item's worth over the worth of our children. And I have been guilty of doing that. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. I have been guilty of doing that. But as I have talked with other moms throughout the last 9 years, as I have looked at my own children and seen their reaction to how I'm responding to a situation, I have learned that they're more important than that shirt that they messed up. And they're more important than the 10 minutes I lost because I'm having to bathe them. The important thing is preserving their heart, making those memories, and leaving a lasting impression of a mom who is full of joy rather than a mom who is more concerned about the shirts and stuff that got messed up because they were being children and eating spaghetti. Look, if you don't want your kids to mess your clothes up that you buy for them, don't give them spaghetti, because guess what? It's going to happen. They're going to mess those things up. They're going to be kids. They're going to ruin shirts. And here's a little side note, words of wisdom. Use the thrift store if you're that concerned about them messing clothes up. Don't buy brand new clothes. Don't feed them spaghetti in that Sunday Easter outfit that you spent money on. Don't do that. You know, there have been times where my son, he's almost 2 years old, and he'll have something on, like, let's say we get home from church and he's just ravenous and ready to eat. I will strip him down to his diaper and put him in the high chair because I'm like, if I don't want these clothes to get ruined, I'm going to take him out of them. And I don't have time to like go get a new outfit and all that. I'm just going to take the clothes off and plop him down in the high chair. And you know what? I save clothes. I save my sanity. And I save my relationship with my little boy. He doesn't see a mom who's getting mad over the clothes that he's messed up. So those are little things that we can do to set ourselves up for success rather than failure by not dressing them in the things that we don't want them to ruin while they're eating, and different things like that. But again, don't get obsessive about it. Remember that those are just things. They don't mean anything in the grand scheme of things. The nice t-shirt that's from, you know, Baby Gap, that doesn't matter. What matters is the heart of your child. And what matters is, what memory of a mom are you leaving for them by the way you respond in those situations? And I'm being a little pushy in this, I suppose, because I have been so guilty of being the mom that got upset and that got mad and put worth on the things rather than putting the worth on my children. And I have seen them upset and hurt by my doing that. And so I just want to encourage you, don't do that. Don't be the mom that gets bent out of shape when stuff gets messed up, because people are more important than stuff. They really, really are. And at the end of the day, Baby Gap is going to have another sale and you can get a shirt replacement. It's not a big deal. Another thing too is the ways that I have had to learn how to choose joy in parenting boys versus parenting girls. Oh man, all of the things that I have learned. I had some friends that read the book and they were like, saying it was so good, but I just feel like there's so much more that you could have said. And so I think maybe in the future I might add to this book and just give more insight and more things that I've learned. But I want it to be a quick, easy read, full of encouragement and all of that. But I will just say that the sections where I talk about raising boys versus raising girls, I have learned so much and I'm still learning so much. And in raising my daughters, I have learned so much about myself and my insecurities and the things that I need as a woman. I've learned tons. And then in raising my sons, I have learned so much about my husband and about men in general and just how they are and how they perceive things and all of that. And it's been so insightful and so good for me to have the blessing of being a mom to boys and girls. It's so funny. There's a few families at our church that they're exclusively just parents to boys. And I just think, wow, I can't even imagine like not having the dynamic of girls. Like, I know that God, you know, he gives children to whom he gives children, and he gives boys versus girls to whom, you know, he gives girls and boys to. I totally understand all that, but it's just funny, like I can't imagine what it would be like to just have all boys or just all girls. It would just be wildly interesting. But nevertheless, I still feel like I have so much more to learn when it comes to girls versus boys, but I can speak a lot to toddlers and, you know, elementary age children. I have had my fair share of failures. I have had my fair share of surprises, and I've had moments of victory, and I've had moments where I have felt like, Lord, I can't do this. I can't be the mom to these kids. I am failing. failing. I'm doing such a bad job. I'm missing it. And one thing that I will just talk to briefly here for a moment is I have a daughter who, she is extremely creative. She blows me away with her creativity. And she is also dyslexic. And if you have a child who is dyslexic, you'll somewhat understand what I'm talking about as I'm speaking. But dyslexic children, they look at life through such a different prism. It's amazing the way that they see things. And I quoted on Twitter, I think maybe about a week ago, a quote that I saw about how if you ask somebody who is not dyslexic, describe a road, they'll describe, you know, gray asphalt, it's long, it might be winding, you know, very basic general things about a road. But if you ask a dyslexic person to describe a road, you will get this huge imaginative description of, oh, and the pebbles are a mixture of white and black and gray, and they come together and form this beautiful textural platform to drive your cars on. And I mean, just very just intense in the description. And it was funny because when I saw that quote, I thought, oh man, that describes her to a T. And I often will laugh with my husband about how, oh, you know her, she's like a butterfly up in the clouds. And one time we were reading a book, and it gave kind of like an activity to do at the end of each chapter. And one of the chapters said, everybody think of a Native American name to name each member of your family. And so when it got to her, she was like, Mommy, what would be my name? And I was like, oh, hands down, you would be Butterfly. And she was like, why Butterfly? And I said, because you're always in your own world, just thinking about your own things, flying around like a butterfly, just careless and, oh, just, you know, going from one thing to the next without any thought. And it's just really funny. But with that, even though she's dyslexic and she just has this different way of looking at things and she's very creative and all of that, in so many ways, she is my mini-me. And I will watch her interacting with other kids. I will watch her kind of wrestling with some of her insecurities. I will see her interacting with her brothers and sisters, and I will just think, oh my goodness, I am watching a live action video of me when I was her age. Just the goofy stuff that she does. And with that, I will think back to the ways that I was dealt with as a child. And I wasn't encouraged in my curiosity and my creativity. In fact, a lot of the times I was told, why are you acting so stupid? You know, stop doing that. You're being annoying. And, you know, not that I've told her that she's being stupid, because we don't use that word in our house, but there have been times where I have found myself getting annoyed with the things that she does instead of embracing her and embracing her creativity and embracing the uniqueness that God has instilled in her. I have found myself getting really bothered by the things that she does. And I just want to encourage you that if you find yourself doing that, really stop and check your heart and check your attitude, because you will find that those wounds will go very, very deep in your child's heart. And even now, I can think back to the pain that I felt whenever my parents would make comments to me, like, stop, you're being annoying, you're being stupid, and all of that. And it really has even affected me as an adult. I will refrain sometimes from maybe expressing myself the way that I would really want to, because I think, oh, they're going to think I'm stupid, or they're going to think what I'm doing is dumb. And I really want to encourage you, watch your words, watch how you respond to your children. Yeah, maybe it is annoying, because guess what? 8-year-olds are 8-year-olds, and they're going to be goofy and silly, and they're going to do dumb things that don't make any sense. But keep that to yourself. Unless they're physically bringing harm to themselves, don't express those feelings outwardly, because you don't understand the wounds that you are putting on them and that you are giving them by responding in such a way. Now, I will say that, yes, there's a time for silliness. Yes, there's a time for that. as you're in sitting in the church service trying to listen to the sermon, that's not the time for silliness, obviously. So step in and be corrective, but do it in a way that's not going to crush them as an individual. And also to give them plenty of opportunities to express themselves creatively. Give them those opportunities to do that. For instance, this morning, my birthday is in a couple weeks, and for whatever reason, the kids woke up and decided they wanted to celebrate my birthday early. And so they put together this kind of hodgepodge, eclectic birthday breakfast meal. And, you know, my daughter, who is the one that's very creative and is butterfly, she kind of formulated in her mind what she wanted this breakfast to look like, and she had it all laid out, and she was like, "Mommy likes toast. Mommy likes to have toast, so we're gonna have toast." And she gathered together an array of ingredients. She got honey and cinnamon and gummy bears and sugar and all of these different, and jelly and all this different stuff, and she lays it all out and she prepares my toast for me. And I was just, in my mind, I was thinking, "Oh, that's so gross. I am not gonna eat that." But, you know, it's important to, and I didn't do a very good job of this because I was half asleep, but nevertheless, she still was trying. And this was her way of showing love to me and appreciation to me for being her mom and celebrating me and my birthday and all of that. And yeah, it was silly, and it was definitely put together by an 8-year-old, but you know, had I been paying attention and had I really celebrated her for her effort, for her trying to express love to me, I think that it would have been much better than had I done what I did, which is really not respond at all. I said, "Yeah, thanks," but it wasn't like this, "Wow, this is so great and so amazing." And so, you know, just being honest, I need to do a better job when my children are doing things like that and celebrating their creativity and the fact that they were thinking of somebody else and they were trying to show love and all of that. And so, you know, I'm even still wrestling with those issues and those areas of weakness in my life from how I was responded to as a child. And so I just want to emphasize, celebrate with them when they do things that, yeah, might be silly, might not make sense, aren't logical in any way, shape, or form, but celebrate with them and be the joyful mom. Be the mom with a smile on her face who is excited to see what they've done, their creativity, their accomplishments. Be that memory for them. Don't be somebody who gives them a weird look, rolls their eyes, and goes, "Oh boy." You know, don't be that. Don't be that memory for them, because they will remember. Trust me, I remember. I remember what my parents did and what they said. And it hurts, even as an adult now. You know, 20 years later, I remember. And I urge you to, if you are prone to respond in these ways to your kids and their childishness, stop and think about what you're doing. And remember, you don't want to be that to your kids. You want to be a mom who shows joy and celebration over them and all of their quirky idiosyncrasies. Another thing too that I wanted to briefly just talk about from the book is, I have had lots of ebbs and flows over the last 9 years of my mothering. Right now I'm kind of in a stage where I have middle elementary age, I have toddlers, and I have a newborn. And I've experienced lots of ups and downs throughout this time. And right now, 2 months ago, is if you've been listening to my podcast or if you've been following me on my blog, 2 months ago, our sixth baby was born, and he was born with a cleft lip and palate. And I talked briefly about how the day that we found out he was going to be born with this physical deformity, I didn't want to choose joy. No part of me wanted to be happy about any of that. I wasn't excited. A part of me was angry and hurt, thinking, "Why, Lord, did you do this? You know, did we do something wrong? Why is this happening now?" And I didn't want to choose joy. Nothing about me wanted to be happy. And I had a really hard time those last 4 weeks or so of my pregnancy leading up to the day that he was born. And one thing that I mentioned was, After he was born, I was sitting in my hospital bed and my husband was asleep, and I still hadn't gotten to hold him other than the few seconds I held him right after he was born, because he was whisked away in the ambulance, and I had a home birth, and he was whisked away in the ambulance, and I was whisked away in another ambulance, and he and I were separated for several days before I was actually able to see him again. I was just seeing pictures of him up until that point, but we had just had some friends from our church come and visit and pray and just kind of talk and encourage us and just give us some just words of wisdom that were just so good and so insightful and so helpful at that moment in time. And after they had left and my husband was asleep, I started to write this blog post. And I really, really and truly at that moment, that was the first time that I had embraced with true joy where God had brought us to at this stage of our parenting. And I really felt God just speaking to my heart and letting me know that I was the mom that he had chosen to be the mom to this little boy. And even though it was going to be hard and there was going to be trials and it was going to be difficult, that I was given this job by God to be his mom and to love him. And I will say that in that moment when I embraced with joy what God had given us was a child with special needs, it was very freeing. And again, I didn't have that joy in the beginning. I was upset. I was mad. And honestly, part of me, you know, whenever if you've had a baby and you're in that 9-month mark, you're so done. You're ready to have the baby. And when I found out how Jonathan was going to be born, I was no longer ready to have the baby. I was perfectly content staying pregnant for the rest of my life because he was safe in my womb and I could love him that way and I could be joyful over the fact that I had a baby, but I didn't have to deal with the realities of a child with special needs and the surgeries and all of the hard things that were going to come as a result. And I just want to encourage you that if you find yourself in a position where you're dealing with something that is hard and nothing about it is happy, nothing about it brings you joy, just lay all of those things at the Lord's feet and ask him to give you joy that is unspeakable, joy that only he can give you. And he will grant that to you, and he will comfort you, and he will allow you to be able to make that choice of choosing joy, even in a situation that just seems impossible and feels like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be happy about this. I don't want to be joyful about this. And I think that you will really see a radical difference in your life and in just how you are dealing with things overall. And again, you know, choosing joy in the little years of motherhood, it's not easy. It's hard. But making the choice to be joyful, to respond in a biblical way to all of the little things that these little guys do in our lives, you will be all the better for it, I promise you. And it will have to be a daily thing. It will have to be something that you do sometimes minute by minute, because I have days where I think, this is terrible. You know, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be happy about this. I don't want to be joyful. I don't want to do this. It's hard and it's ugly and I would rather be doing something else. But in the end, when I do make that decision, I'm so glad that I have, because the days end with smiles on everyone's faces and children expressing their love and appreciation for me as their mom. And those are moments that I can't create on my own in an angry, irritated, and frustrated state. And so again, I just want to emphasize, choose joy on those moments, or in those moments rather, when it's hard to, when you're cleaning dirty diapers all day and you've got sick kids and everybody's whining and everybody woke up on the wrong side of the bed and all that. Choose joy. Choose to operate in an attitude of joy, and you will definitely reap rewards and benefits from that. This concludes today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and were encouraged. For more articles, you can subscribe to my blog, at www.minuteswithmom.com. You can follow me all across social media at Minutes with Mom. You can also check out my ebook on Amazon called Choosing Joy in the Little Years. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast too for weekly episodes and updates. And again, I will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. and I hope you have a great day.